I am officially running for President of the United States.
Primary consultant is myself because I have a very good brain and I've said a lot of things.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
I like China. You can win against China if you're smart.
So don't tell me about China. I know China.
China. I beat the people from China. What the hell is going on?
It's time for State of the States.
The CEO of health insurance company United Healthcare, Brian Thompson, was shot dead by a masked assailant last week. The police have arrested Ivy League graduate Luigi Mangione for the murder. The crime has gained significant controversy and attention online, with many using it to restart the debate on the inequities of the United States healthcare system. This week, Yale University was also the latest college to commit to divesting from weapons manufacturing following a student vote. This was largely a response to the university's ties to Israel in the wake of Israel's ongoing war on Gaza. For State of the States this week, I speak to Andre Faoso from the Yale Daily News about both of these topics. I started by asking about the assassination of the CEO of United Healthcare. What do we know about Luigi Mangione, the man charged with the murder of healthcare exec Brian Thompson?
So Mangione is a 26-year-old man. He's from the state of Maryland. And actually his family are a very prominent family that have healthcare ties in the state of Maryland. Mangione's first cousin is also a Republican delegate in the state of Maryland. Mangione himself attended private school. He went to the University of Pennsylvania and also has connections to Stanford University. He studied engineering, computer engineering, and has links mainly to tech companies in California and Hawaii. And Hawaii was where he previously resided before he moved back to the mainland US, where he was since found, with Pennsylvania being a place where he did have very strong connections to and where he was arrested as well.
When Mangione was apprehended, he was carrying a manifesto. Does this give much insight into his motivation for the murder?
Well, authorities have come out and spoken about some of the information in his manifesto, and there's already been some discussion on it in media regarding what he mentioned. It did outline his overall frustration with the American healthcare system, and also authorities have said that it did convey an overall, quote-unquote, ill will to corporate America. However, he didn't name specific characters in his manifesto, but as more information has come out about his background and his family as well, there's been increasing speculation in terms of some of the motives behind why he would have gone and committed the act that he did last week in murdering Brian Thompson. But a lot of them are stemming regarding his own experience with the American healthcare system and also those of his family members. It was widely reported that Mangione had very bad back problems, and he did have back surgery at a younger age, and that apparently did affect his life. However, people are still trying to connect the dots as to why or what really pushed him to the point where he wanted to go ahead and murder Brian Thompson and target United Healthcare.
And how have the public reacted to both the murder of Thompson and the subsequent apprehension of Mangione?
It really depends on what side of the media you talk to. In many respects, this is a very polarizing issue across mainstream media frontiers, but then also social media. Actually, on social media, there's been a lot of widespread sympathy and understanding for why Mangione murdered Brian Thompson. And mainstream media has been somewhat at odds for what social media pundits and individuals have been saying. First of all, there's been a lot of comments about Luigi Mangione's looks, but he's considering he's quite a dashing young man. But either way, there has been a lot of discussion as well regarding the American healthcare system and perhaps why people have such ill will to the American healthcare system, considering that profits are put above the well-being of American people and customers of private healthcare insurers here in the United States. United Healthcare is the largest healthcare provider in the United States, and countless claims of unreasonable denials of claims have been made. And people have posited as well that Mangione has acted out at Brian Thompson's profiteering off of United Healthcare's denial and inherent and deaths as a result of the denial of service to thousands of Americans. Healthcare is a very salient issue for many Americans, and I mean definitely from what I've experienced here in the United States, being a customer of private healthcare as well, it is an issue that's at front of mind for a lot of Americans as well. So alongside the pop culture references to Mangione, there is also very salient political discussions as well. However, political officials on all sides have come out as well opposing political violence, and that's another really important aspect of this as well.
Yale students have voted to divest. What does this mean?
So the campaign that has been launched over the past 6 months at Yale rides off really strong sentiments amongst American universities to divest from weapons manufacturers. So the operating model for a lot of US universities that are privately owned is that they have very large endowment funds that fund university operations. These university endowments are worth billions of dollars. Yale's is the second largest university endowment in the world, for that matter, valued at around $41 billion. And so it is, from a strategic perspective, Yale and other institutions invest in different organizations, some of them being fossil fuel companies and weapons manufacturers. And these weapons manufacturers that Yale and other universities have invested in have been linked to the provision of weapons that the Israeli military have dispersed on Palestinian citizens. And so this has caused very strong moral division and also calls from students at these institutions for these universities to divest. So this a referendum last week was posed, and it called for both disclosure, divestment, and reinvestment. The disclosure was for Yale to disclose where it was investing its funds and how much it was investing in weapons manufacturers. There was also a vote on divestment, the question of whether Yale should divest. And then also the question of whether Yale should reinvest, particularly in Indigenous and Palestinian scholarship.
How much of an impact does this vote to divest have on Yale?
So, I mean, first of all, the results of the referendum were unanimous. More than 79% of students who voted in the referendum voted yes on all three measures, being disclosure, divestment, and reinvestment. The other requirement was that the total number of people that voted yes represented at least a third of Yale's total student body, and it did pass that threshold. So now the precedent has been set, and obviously now Yale students have spoken to their administration. So now the Yale College Council, which is the governing body of Yale students, of the Yale student body, will pass on their recommendations to the board members of the Yale Corporation and also the Yale Endowment Fund. And from then on, they'll have to enact the calls that have been made by the student body to divest. The logistics of that have yet to be disclosed. It's very early days, but it did take considerable time back in 2013 when Yale decided to divest from fossil fuels for that to actually be implemented. The original referendum in that case happened in 2013, and actual divestment didn't happen until 2021. So it'll still be a process, and it will still take time, obviously, especially if it comes to light that millions and billions of dollars has been invested, which undoubtedly is the case.
Who was behind making the vote happen? Was it a result of the Palestine student protests from earlier this year?
Yes, so this was in direct connection to some of the student protests that did happen. However, a lot of those initial coalitions have disbanded. So out of that movement emerged the Samud Coalition, which is a group of more than 50 on-campus organizations, and then also members of the Palestinian, Muslim, and Jewish community that all support university divestment from weapons manufacturers. They've been the ones that have campaigned on the vote during the referendum period, but also prior, and have also brought together all the student organizations which have come in support, many of them being Indigenous, religious, and also political groups that have supported the Samud Coalition in campaigning and advancing the calls for divestment on Yale's campus. And similar cases have happened in other universities. This has also been a concerted effort amongst other universities in the United States, including other Ivy League institutions, which have had their own calls for divestment, most notably Brown University. Even though the Brown University leaders actually decided not to divest, it still has set a precedent for very strong momentum on university campuses for divestment to continue and to take place.
That was Andrea Falso from the Yale Daily News on the assassination of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson and the subsequent arrest of suspect Luigi Mangione, as well as the decision of Yale students to vote overwhelmingly in support of divestment from weapons manufacturing.
Excuse me. I'm really rich.
That was State of the States.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How stupid is this?